And this is the world famous Phil Hendry Show. This is Margaret Gray with General Galen Shaw.
Yes, and right next to me here is Bud Dickman.
Thank you very much, General. And this is Robert Leonard.
Now, I'm Robert Leonard, and here's Margaret Gray.
Yes, I'm Margaret Gray, and here is Phil Hendry.
Thank you, guys, and we welcome you to the program here. We thank our good, close, personal friend there, Pete Bone.
This guy's a personal friend of yours, huh?
Well, not really, but that's what we say.
Well, yeah, it is something you say. You want people to think that you're friends with these people, you know.
All right, well, I understand that, but the reason why I said that...
Yeah, the guy's pretty weird.
Yeah, I know the guy's weird. Pete Bone is nuts, and we'll let it go with that, you know.
Yeah, entertainment, that's the whole thing about it.
Well, entertainment is fine. No one needs to tell me about entertainment. I've lived my entire life in the entertainment. A limelight, spotlight. But to have a man on the air like that, that is just, you know, Frank said it very well. He's cuckoo, and that's... I'm saying that very seriously now.
What do you mean, very seriously?
I mean the man is cuckoo.
Here we go. Margaret, well, okay, so if you want to say it seriously...
Don't slam things down, Phil.
What do you... When you say you're saying it seriously...
I am saying that he is cuckoo, and that is the French.
Yeah, well, because you give it a French pronunciation...
Bud, don't, please don't. This is for the grown-ups, all right?
Bud's got every right to talk if he wants to.
Yeah, just because you're giving it the French.
Oh, all right, so I'll treat you seriously, Bud. What is your point?
Because you're...
I'll tell you what the kid's saying. He said, General, I can do this. I'll handle this. This'll be easy.
Now, oh, it'll be easy, will it?
That's right. Just because you give it the French.
Why are you scratching yourself like an ape?
Because it itches right here.
Will you knock it off?
He's sitting there. He's scratching just under his...
Yeah, just under his what? Just under his right chest?
Well, more like his right breast. And he's like a monkey. He's just...
All right. Thank you very much.
What do you mean like a monkey? The kid's got every right...
What is it with you sticking up for him?
Hey. He's got every right in the world to say what he wants to say. If you're itching, what is it with you, Bud? Yeah, you're itching.
I don't know, probably some kind of baby poison ivy.
Where'd you get that?
I just went out hiking this weekend.
With your shirt off?
No.
Jesus, kid, look, you don't give me any poison ivy.
You know, I never got poison ivy as a kid. Every kid that I knew got it. Everywhere I went.
Well, it is extremely contagious. You know, you get it off of the poisoned ivy tree.
Yeah. No, I know that, but... I was not aware of the fact that it was so prevalent when I was a kid. I used to see kids all the time at school, and their faces were wrecked, man. I mean, they had, like, all kinds of poison ivy down their face, you know.
Yeah, well, it looks almost like you got the, like you got leprosy or some damn thing.
Well, yeah, but I mean, well, not leprosy.
What are you talking about?
Poison ivy, when you get the and the poison oak, those are two different things. You can look like you have just walked into a leper colony and just lip-locked.
Jesus.
Well, it's like you've tongue-kissed every leper.
All right, Margaret. So,
you're the one that brought this up.
It's not that bad. But anyway, I used to see kids with all that rashes and stuff, you know, and then they put on some kind of...
What was the song? You're gonna need an ocean of...
No. You're going to need the ocean of calamine lotion. Did. What are you looking at?
That's not the melody.
That's close enough. You're gonna need an ocean of calamine lotion by the...
No, it's called Poison Ivy.
Yeah, oh yeah, Poison Ivy.
Oh, for God.
Help me.
Poison Ivy by the Coasters, I think. Anyway... So, yeah, that was the thing. I don't know. How did we get into this?
Did I thought I had it.
What do you have?
It's gone. It's just an itch.
Anyway, why did you think you had poison ivy?
I don't know, because I was out hiking, and there were a lot of trees and stuff.
Man, you gotta have your shirt off and stuff and get that.
All right, anyway, on the show today, we're going to be talking with Dr. Jim Sadler, who is pissed off at Ben and Jerry because they were at the Capitol protesting the campaign finance and taxation and money and politics. That's it. And he finds that to be hypocritical and offensive because these two guys are making ice cream, jamming all kinds of... Well, we'll talk to him about that.
Because the unhealthy aspects of making the ice cream.
Yeah. And then we've also got Don Bourbon, who'll talk about this Lord Aleem. You know who this is?
Yeah, the guy who's on YouTube, kind of does stuff on YouTube.
Yeah.
Well, I guess he wrecked his Ferrari, and people are a little upset that he's making a big deal out of wrecking a... Or not that he's not taking it seriously.
Well, it's owned by the family. It's not even his.
No, I know. And then we have... Don Berman. Excuse me. We've got Dave Castorini and Doug Danger on the whole Whole Foods thing.
Now, that's an interesting story. The Whole Foods situation is such that a man went in there. He's a preacher, you said, Phil.
It looks... Yeah, from his Twitter account, Jacob Brown is his name. And it looks like he's got a church or something.
And it looks as if it was most recently, it's new, and now all of a sudden he goes into this Whole Foods and they've written the F word on a cake. It says, love wins.
What is this? Yeah, he ordered a cake from Whole Foods that said, love wins on the top, and then underneath it said the F, you know, F-A.
Oh, yeah, it's that.
Don't say it, okay?
Man, that's like the N word now.
What is, fag?
I told you not to say it. I'm going to kick your ass.
Why'd you film?
I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know now, don't you? So,
It is, bud. It is no can do.
Yeah, you can't go there anymore, man. That's forbidden. Can't do that.
God, man.
Yeah, well, you know, there's certain words that have now taken on such currency in terms of their offensiveness. We're trying to be we're trying to be conscious of people now. A lot of these jackasses say, oh, I don't believe in political correctness. Well, if you don't believe in political correctness, then don't believe in political correctness and go out and start using the N-word and the F-word everywhere you want. Good luck getting home at night in one piece. Anyway.
Well, that's funny. You know, that's the truth. And while I am not a liberal and I don't believe in all the touchy-feely, I do believe that you got to get through this world and you've got to show a little bit of social skill.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. You know, people got to figure out how to make their way in this life.
Well, it's the truth, so I would agree with that.
All right, so we're going to get into all of that stuff, but right now we'll hit the highways
on traffic
and the byways with the traffic. Here is Bob Bickey. And Bob?
Freeway, I'm telling you, they have a pipe. I got the sidewalk. There's a pipe pin out there. Glob in, make sure that you have your clavage. And also beware of the fact that there's a Glob Bean and Mr. Jones. Let's go to the Skyboard.
Workingham's Hams. Workingham's Hams, Porks, Pork Shops, and Pork Loins. Workingham's has been a meat locker since 1927. It's right there on the west side of Kirtland. You can't miss it. Drive by, get yourself a Workingham ham. Workingham Hams are pork chops, pork loins, pork, everything pork, bacon, beef bacon, turkey bacon. That's not pork. Doesn't make any difference. At Workingham Hams, we've got Workinghams. We put those hams to work. By the time we're done with them, they have no fat on them. In fact, they're barely nutritious. They barely have any protein. Workingham's Hams, a meat locker you can trust.
Workingham's is for me.
I've been going to Workingham's for... Whoosh. I've lost memory. In fact, I've noticed that I've lost a lot of motor skills since I've been eating their hams. Workingham Hams on the west side. Workingham, the meat locker you can trust. Bill Cooley here for Cooley Dodge. Do you know that for the fourth year in a row, we've been called the number one Dodge dealership that really doesn't exist? That's right. Bill Cooley's Dodge. You know, when we started our little Dodge ownership, our little Dodge dealership there, we wanted to do one thing and one thing only. Sell a lot of cars. Make sure that you got yourself into a car. If you weren't in a car, then I felt bad. I'd go home. I felt depressed at night. My wife would say, what's wrong? I said, I know there's people out there that are not in a car. She says, do you want them to drive the car? I said, I don't care what they're doing. They could be laying flat in it. They could be laying face down in it. They could be laying back in the seat with a bullet hole in the right side of their head and a little trickle of blood and maybe a bullet hole in the window. It doesn't matter to me, but I want them in a car and I want them in a Bill Cooley Dodge.
Bill Cooley Dodge on the highway near the gateway.
On the highway near the gateway. On the highway near the gateway to the expressway to your heart.
I was wrong. Took too long. I got caught in a rush hour.
I'm Bill Cooley.
Bill Cooley Dodge.
Not the gravy out your biscuit.
Welcome back, Phil Henry Show.
And this is General... There's the N-word right there.
What are you going to do? It's a part of the new hip-hop music, and that's just how it's all... That's how it's all playing out, you know.
Don Berman is joining us, and Don is at the Channel 19 newsroom right now, preparing for his evening newscast. It's always great to have Don on the line with us to talk about these... different stories. Don, how you doing?
Oh, very well, Phil. And thank you very much for having me on the program. And this is Laura Lean's big day here. As he's apparently the car, which is not owned by him, it's owned by his family, wound up right into a wall there in Burnley, England.
Now, Lord Aleem is a YouTube star.
That is what I'm told. Yes.
Do you know him?
No, I don't know him personally. No, I know of him, and I know of the family. I know they're quite wealthy, and I know that they have, in that area, they have owned, they have had an automotive business for quite some time, and that the son there, Lord Aleem, is quite colorful. But the car itself is not his. It's a car that was It was rented out, I believe, by a young couple. No one was injured.
Now, this was a couple, Dawn, that was they were newlyweds, right?
Yes, they were newlyweds. And I guess they were driving too fast. Now, this is a 240,000-pound automobile, so put that somewhere in the neighborhood of $300,000 to $325,000 worth of automobile. And, you know...
Wow, that's... well, everybody knows... This is a Ferrari. Those are expensive.
Yes, it's a Ferrari Spire. And it was white, and not red.
Yeah, they used to be all red.
Now, this was a Ferrari, yes. I remember when Enzo Ferrari insisted on all of them coming out of the factory as red.
Well, this one was not red. This one was white, and I don't know whether this had anything to do with the bad luck of the family in losing this automobile. But I have to tell you, what's amused me more than anything else are people making a big deal out of this. While it is an expensive car, it's a car that, you know, certain families can afford. If you're wealthy, you can afford a Ferrari, and it's not going to be that big of a deal if it's wrapped around a pole or a bridge abutment or something like that. And I got off the phone with Tom Krausenauer, who owns the Ferrari dealership in Chicago and has been a friend of mine since school. And I said, what do you think about that? And he said, easy come, easy go. I said, that was my thought exactly. Now, and he also asked me if I was still having a problem with Ferraris. And I said, no, I wasn't. I know that you'd heard about that, Phil.
Well, no, I heard that you love Ferraris.
Well, they said that, Don, that you love Ferraris. And it's always been your dream to own one.
Who said that?
Well, we were talking to people in the newsroom, but your owner there, who's the guy? L. Ron Martin.
The owner and the general manager, L. Ron Martin, yeah. I've told him that I have always wanted to have a Ferrari. It's not that much of an obsession, though.
All right.
But the notion is, get that, will you? I don't care. I don't want to talk to anybody. The notion that I am in love with Ferraris to the point where I get distracted when I hear about one getting smashed into a wall, I think it's a little over the line.
All right, I don't know. Those were always the rumors that you were a guy that you got a little distracted by Ferraris. It was a symbol.
Well, is the Ferrari a symbol of having made it for you, Don, or is it not? Because that's what we'd heard.
Is the Ferrari a symbol of having made it, or is it not? That's a very hard question.
Well, no. What I'm saying is, Mr. Berman, the Ferrari is a car you really want. Is it going to make you unhappy if you never get one?
This is beginning to turn into the Don Berman segment.
Yeah, no, and I'm sorry about that, Don. It's just that when you mentioned Tom in Chicago and you mentioned Ferrari, we all assumed that this was something that was going to be of great interest to you. The fact that it's easy come, easy go is a little interesting.
It is. If you have enough money to own a Ferrari to rent one, imagine that. Imagine having the money to be able to own a Ferrari just to rent it out. In other words, it's not the family car. You're just renting it out to people. That's how much money you have. Yeah, I can only imagine what Lord Alim and the whole family there, the whole Alim family, whatever they are, whoever they are. I don't know if they're Arab. I don't know what they are. I wouldn't know them if I fell over them. I know about him only because I have a great interest in Ferraris, and I know they have this Spider, but that's a lot of money. When you say, I don't understand the question.
It doesn't matter. So we're talking here with Don Berman about the a Ferrari Spitfire that was run into a wall in Burnley. Lord Alim, who is a YouTube star of some note, the car's owned by his family. And the thing that was interesting about it was he was tweeting about it as if it, hey, easy come, easy go, no big thing. Nobody was hurt, which is really the good news.
Well, that's the most important bit of the story.
Yeah, that was important. It was important. But more important is that, you know, big deal, it was a Ferrari. Why is everyone making a big deal out of it, you know?
Well, all right, so you don't think it's that big of a deal, even though you are...
I love Ferraris. And I'm trying to understand what I'm trying to do. I'm doing a new... Just 1 minute here. I'm doing a news... I'm on the phone, but I'm going to do... Understand, I love Ferraris very, very much. And I am trying, in the years that I have here on this earth, I'm trying to wean myself away from wanting one so bad that I get emotional when I hear about one being run into a wall and almost blown to bits.
Yeah.
Well, look, Donna, if this is too emotional for you...
Do you worry about the people inside?
Do I worry about the people inside? Understand, But the people inside that car took a beautiful piece of workmanship. They took an absolutely beautiful car and they ran it into a wall. They ran it into, they destroyed it.
Don, come on.
Hey, Don, take it easy, will you?
What is the emotional aspect of this for you?
They almost ruined... No, I'll be there in a minute. I'll be there in a minute. They almost ruined... They did ruin, in fact, a beautiful car. A car that I'll never own. But what I'm trying to say...
Why don't you think you'll ever own a Ferrari?
I don't know if I will or not. I'm trying to get to the point in my life where I'm not jealous of anyone that owns a Ferrari, that I don't get emotional when I see some... Can I just be frank?
Yeah, go ahead.
Go on.
When I see two dirty little punks, two little newlywed brats, drive a Ferrari into a wall...
Don...
No, wait. They drive a Ferrari into a wall. They have no concept of the value of it. Have I ever sat behind the wheel of a Ferrari and driven one? No. But they ran it into a wall.
Don, this is not doing you any good.
Oh, let me just get it out. They ran it into a wall, and it's ruined. Ruined.
All right, Don.
Yeah. What are you laughing at?
I'm not laughing at anything. I've coughed a little bit.
No, you went like that, like it was a laugh.
No, I didn't. We're just... Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay, Dickman. What are you all of a sudden, a paramedic? Yeah, I'm okay.
Look, Don, people are... You got very, very distraught there over the fact this Ferrari was running... So what?
So what? You're right, so what?
Yeah, I mean, and you probably will own a Ferrari someday.
Oh, someday. I'm a news anchor in Los Angeles, California. You'd think I make enough money I could go out right now and buy one! Shut up. All right, I got a problem here now.
What happened?
No, I'm sorry, but everyone's looking at me in the newsroom. I could go out, Phil, and buy one, but I don't make that kind of money, so I have to sit and wait, and I've got to save up. Can you imagine that, saving up a news anchor from Los Angeles? I got to sit there and I got to save all of my money. What are you? I'm sorry.
Is that Martin?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. That's all right, Buck. Go ahead. What was wrong with you? Why were you yelling? What? Why was you yelling?
I was yelling because I got emotional about something.
What?
I got emotional about the Ferrari story. I told you.
Hey, who's that, Henry? Hey, Mr. Henry, how are you?
Hey, Mr. Martin, how are you, sir?
I'm very good. Give it back to me. Sorry. No.
So here I sit in the middle of a newsroom, and I've got Elron Martin come. May I help you with something?
I just got to get one more here. Hey, Joey? Joey, get over here. Take these. The man's working.
I thought they were going to move that machine.
What?
I thought they were going to move the machine.
Hold on for a minute. I can't hear my God. Hey, Joey, take the. I'm very sorry.
Yeah. That's for the 11 o'clock. I got emotional because the Ferrari, to me, is the most beautifully engineered and designed for power, for engineering, for beauty. There's nothing like a Ferrari. I don't own one. When a Ferrari is driven into a wall by two punk kids, by a couple of snot-nosed punks who are getting married. Oh, let's take a Ferrari. Hold on. What are you doing?
Boss said he wanted another concert.
You know that I'm on the air right now.
On the air?
I'm on the air. I'm doing an interview.
Ah, sorry. Hey, one more. I'm sorry about that. I'm very sorry about that, Donnie. Hey, come on, Joey. Come on.
So, Phil, the story there from Lord Aleem and the, you know, I appreciate him being casual.
So you started this interview being casual yourself.
Yes, I did. And I got emotional the more I talked about it because I realized I do care. And I am very resentful of Lord Aleem. I don't appreciate him. I don't appreciate his laissez-faire attitude. I hate him. I don't hate him in the sense that you would hate someone, want them to physically be harmed, but I hate anyone who owns a car like that and tweets out, well, easy come, easy go. I tweeted back at him. I said, you go to hell.
I think you need to take the day off.
Oh, you do, huh?
You sound definitely like you need to take the day off.
No, General, no offense, but you sound like you need to take the day off. This is what you sound like. You sound you know?
You know, I feel fine, though.
I feel fine.
Well, you don't sound fine, Don. You sound as if you are really, really wrestling with something.
Yeah, you sound like you ought to maybe lay down or something.
I'm not going to lay down. I got news to do, okay? So, what the fuck are you doing? I'm sorry.
Holy fucking Jesus.
All right, Don. Don, if I may leave you with this thought.
Hold on for a minute, yeah? I need one more coffee, I'm sorry. Can you count out how many coffees you need? Oh, the guys are coming and going. Go ahead, Phil.
I leave you with this thought. You are going to own a Ferrari someday, and all the other Ferraris out there that are being abused by people, you, the Ferrari that you own, you will make up for it in the way you treat it, in the way that...
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, absolutely. In the way that you care for it, you'll wash it, you'll wax it, I'm sure you'll take care of it. It will last far, far, far into the future.
My life.
That is a very good way of looking at it, Don, and you do work very hard, and you do deserve it.
Well, I thank you very much. I know you guys are friends, and look at this. Here he comes again. I'm very sorry. What the fuck are you doing, man? Hey. No, I'm on the radio right now, and I need one more coffee. One more coffee? What do you guys... I finished the last one. Oh, my God. Yeah, you fine? What, are you going to cry? Get out of here.
All right, Don, thank you very much. Don Berman from Channel 19 News on the crashing of a Ferrari in Burnley, England, that has him almost completely out of his mind with grief.
That's pretty weird, but I did know that he's always wanted one.
Yeah, well, now, this is new to me.
Don Berman has been a Ferrari freak for as long as we've known him. And he's always said that he doesn't really feel complete as a man until he owns a Ferrari.
You're kidding?
No. And every time he reads about a Ferrari being cracked up or trashed or crashed...
There was a Ferrari. There was a crash here on PCH, Pacific Coast Highway, a number of years ago, between a Ferrari and a Mercedes McLaren. I think it was the Ferrari that ate it. Somebody witnessed this race between a Ferrari and a Mercedes McLaren. It was the Ferrari that went out of control. And he was almost beside himself with grief because he feels that, you know, every cracked up Ferrari... and he doesn't have one, you know.
Well, it's
pretty weird. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Thanks so very much there, Don. We got coming up now, we got our Doug Danger in. We're going to be talking to Dave Castorini as well about the Whole Foods situation over there, as well as Dr. Jim Sadler and Ben and Jerry at the Capitol. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. What the hell is this?
Chelsea Grin.
Oh, there's Chelsea Grin. I'll give him a real Chelsea Grin.
Oh, my God.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Give me a break.
And it's from the El Pacifico here in Southern California.
All right, you know, the month of April is rapidly... it's rapidly diminishing here into the rearview mirror, you know? I mean, we've still got a little bit of April left, but it's hauling ass. Now, this month, we want you to head over to Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, because we're running our hashtag game, World of Phil, with your favorite quote from today's show. And you could win a swag bag full of great crap if you so do. Now, here's a couple of tweets from yesterday's show. You got a great house, but why is it there?
You got a great house, but why is there a dumpster behind it?
That's the favorite quote from yesterday's show?
Yeah, that's from...
Pete Bone.
Yeah, that was the Pete Bone show.
Right. Here's another one. You sound like a clown who took a clown shoe to the kisser. Now, that one I like.
Yeah, that one, Big Pauly B.
All right, so a couple of tweets from yesterday. And you can go over there and tweet up the show, your favorite line from today's show. Just hashtag it World of Phil and head over to either Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. And once we collect all of those, then we enter them into a large hopper or some kind of a thing like that and pull a name out and pull something else. The next thing you know,
you're a winner.
Right. From the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Also, don't forget, we have our big chat on Friday night. We had a fair smattering of new people. And we'd like to meet all of our new BSPs because we're signing up a lot of new people these days, and it's always great to see. So if I'm not talking back at you there in the comments section on our homepage, I'm always here on Friday nights at 9 o'clock for our video chat with all of our BSPs, meaning that it is live and
Oh, so that is live. It's not taped delayed or anything like that.
No. It's live. We're live video on Friday night. And you can watch the video cast and tweet at me, or I should say, comment, that kind of thing.
Well, it's a chat.
Yeah, it's a chat. So, and you see our little chat box there in the lower right-hand corner of the page and so on and so forth. So join us on Friday night for that. And I've got some news about forthcoming live appearances at the Hollywood Improv. I know on the 6th of May, Phil Hendry and friends, we have confirmed me, Darren Carter, and Melinda Hill. And we'll have a couple of other names for you as well. So Friday night, I think that's a Friday night, the 6th of May. Is that Friday night, bud?
May 6th. You said May 6th.
Give me that, will you, for crying out loud?
Ow!
Give me that. I'll look and see.
Here, I'll do it.
Please, Margaret.
God, you should have seen what Phil did. He just went, ew.
It's, where the hell is it, man? May 6th is a Friday night. Yeah. God, why does it take so long?
Right, so May 6th, Friday night.
Yeah, hey. It'll be the World of Phil at the Hollywood Improv. No, I should say Phil Hendry and Friends at the Hollywood Improv, May the 6th. So keep that in mind. We'll be in the lab. That's a fun room to work in. And, well, it's the lab for a reason, man, because it's all very experimental and laboratory type and all that wild stuff. Phil Hendry Show, and we're bringing it to you there. Phil Hendry and Friends, May 6th at the Hollywood Improv with our good friends Darren Carter, Melinda Hill, and others to be announced.
Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, baby. Speaking of laboratories, Dr. Jim Sadler joins us from San Diego. And Dr. Sadler,
right, and this is a protest against the use of money in politics. And we got Jim Sadler. Hey, Dr. Sadler, how you doing? This is General Shaw.
Hello, General.
What is your main beef about this with the Ben and the Jerry, and they're protesting money in politics? That's a good thing, isn't it?
Well, it may be a good thing, it may be a bad thing, but let's take a look at something before, you know, we go too crazy. Ben and Jerry have an ice cream company. I don't see them doing the world a lot of good with the ice cream that is full of fats, full of creams, full of sugars, full of glucoses and sucroses and every kind of artificial sweeteners, and will jam more fat and more platelets and triglyceride and everything.
You're a doctor. You ought to know those terms. I was going to say.
What's that again?
He said you're a doctor. You should know these terms better.
Wow, wait a minute, man.
All right, let's not quibble over these things.
I know my medical terms a lot better than you do, Robert, okay?
I'm not a doctor, though.
Yeah, I should say you're not a doctor. I'm the doctor, okay? And I'm saying that Ben and Jerry, while they're in Washington, D.C., talking about money and politics, are putting out ice cream that will cause people to stroke out. And I don't know if it's something you wanted to do, to have your left side go numb and for your shoulder to drop and to droop, and you walk down the street of life with your fingers on the left hand almost touching the street, and your right arm is normal, carrying a briefcase. Is that what you want to do? Huh?
Well, if it's a rhetorical question...
Well, no, I'm asking each one of you.
Of course not. We don't want to do that.
We don't want to do that, Dr. Sadler, but we're asking you. So why are you saying...
Are you saying, Dr. Jim, that therefore, because they are producing this kind of a product, they have no right to go to Washington and quibble about money?
It's exactly what I'm saying. And I'll tell you one more thing. Lest this, you know, for full disclosure, all right? For full disclosure.
What do you mean, full disclosure?
I'm going to tell you for full disclosure.
Full disclosure? You got somebody who's going to tell us.
But about what?
I'm going to tell you.
All right, easy. Everybody relax. Go ahead.
All right. In 1992 or 3, I came out with an ice cream, Dr. Jim Sadler's Brew, and it was a coffee-flavored ice cream, and it stiffed right out of the gate, and it was delicious. And when I went to the store, and we only had it in about two or three stores...
It didn't sell.
That's right. And I asked them why. They said, because we already got Ben and Jerry, and they don't need another vanity brand ice cream called Dr. Jim, and they said it was too cornball, and that everybody liked the Dr. What do you call it? Ben and Jerry.
Dr. Ben and Jerry?
No, Ben and Jerry, like Ben and Jerry, you know? So
No, you're taking this personally.
Well, I'm taking a little personally, yes. Absolutely, I take it personally, because when you've worked and slaved your guts out, and you find that, a company that has been well-established, and now they're in Washington.
All right, well, you know, if you put it that way, I think there's a point you're making that's very good.
I don't see it.
Well, no, let me say this. I think what Dr. Sadler is saying is Ben and Jerry have some kind of nerve talking about how politicians use money when they themselves are cynically manipulating the nutrition of the American people in the name of good times and having yourself a party and have a little bit of ice cream.
That's exactly right.
All right, well, let me play devil's advocate for a moment, okay?
All right, but before you play devil's advocate, I know what you're going to do. You're going to say, what's bad about a little bit of ice cream?
Yeah, what is bad about a little bit? Life is hard enough that you can't have a little bit of ice cream.
Life is hard enough? A little bit of ice cream.
Wait. No, that's not what I'm going to ask you. You came out with an ice cream, and it's very funny because we just had Don Berman here, and he was talking about a story, and we thought he was going to take one angle, and it turned out that he had a problem because he personally was affected, and that's what it sounds like here.
What are you talking about?
I'm saying that Don, we were talking about Ferraris, and Don Berman was discussing Ferraris, and it turned out he'd always wanted a Ferrari, and his life has been negatively impacted by not having a Ferrari, and he was very emotional.
Yeah, he was crying.
Do I sound like I'm crying?
Well, no, you don't, but it does sound like a personal thing.
Why? Because, no, it's not personal.
All right, then why did you bring up the fact that you had an ice cream out?
I brought up the fact that I came out with an ice cream to illustrate the point, that Ben and Jerry ride roughshod over every swinging, I'm going to say it, every swinging thing that comes in front of them.
That was not necessary.
I'm sorry, but I need to make this point.
Well, it was still not necessary.
Well, I'm sorry, but I need to make the point. Anybody want to else say it wasn't necessary?
It still wasn't necessary.
I'm sorry, I need to make the point. Anybody else? You, all of you out there?
No, we're fine.
I'm telling you that Ben and Jerry ride roughshod over everyone. All right, I came out with an ice cream. Big deal. I wanted to see if I could tap into the ice cream market.
Was it particularly healthy? Was it better made?
Oh, it was way better made. Was it healthier than theirs? I would say that yes, it was, because it came with a printed instruction, not a warning, a printed instruction that said
what do you mean that said?
I'm sorry, that said you should only eat one bowl of ice cream. Don't overdo it with two or three or four, because you're going to look in a mirror and you're not going to believe what looks back at you in about a year. That's what I said. And
you put this on the side of your ice cream?
Yes, I did. And
you called that...
Can I finish a point here?
No, you called that a fair warning.
Yes, I do, but I'm saying Ben and Jerry don't do that. All they say is have some ice cream, enjoy having an ice cream, and enjoy it. It's really good, and they don't tell you nothing. And then they go to Washington, and they talk about what's bad for the country in terms of politics. I think it's cheap. I think it's low. I think they are cynical. I think they cynically manipulate and the ghoulishly dissect the minds of the American electorate. And as a doctor, I'm very offended that these two guys, who, by the way, they're not the look of health. When I take a look at these two guys, they both look, they're bald. One guy's bald. They both got guts on them. I don't know, you know.
All right, so they're not the picture of health. Point being?
The point being, who are they to tell anybody anything? I'm a doctor, and I can tell you that eating their ice cream... Well, eventually it'll kill you. And
if you overuse anything...
Yeah, okay, but Ben & Jerry has designed their product to be overused. They've designed their product. You eat Ben & Jerry's, And I can tell you, I've had their ice cream. Is it good? Yes, it is. Are you tempted to eat and eat and eat and eat and eat? Yes, you are. Are you tempted to go through one little cup of it? I had two cups of Ben & Jerry's.
Now, what do you mean cup? You mean by the little pints that they sell?
Yeah, the little pints. You know what's what I find to be cynical? They make them in the pint. You can go through that. I went through one of those. Well,
yeah, see, this is the problem. You.
No, there's no problem, Mr. Henry. There's no problem other than the fact that what they do is cynical.
You went through a cup of Ben & Jerry's pretty fast, all right? One of those pints?
Yes, I did. I went through that thing like a bat out of hell.
And you wound up getting overweight.
When I looked in the mirror, and about 6 months after I discovered Ben & Jerry's, I looked in the mirror, and I didn't believe what looked back at me. I didn't believe it. And I still have memories of it.
You're you're the second guy on the show today to start bawling like a baby.
I think, you know, we ought to quit while we're ahead.
Oh, no. Go ahead and argue against what I'm saying.
You're emotionally unsound and everything.
What did he say?
You're emotionally unsound. I agree with the kid. You sound as if you've got, a screw coming loose.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's typical to say of someone who's making a very good political point.
No, you just sort of hurt yourself. You said you wouldn't believe what looked back at you from the mirror.
It was frightening. It was frightening.
All right. So you were addicted to Ben & Jerry's ice cream. You ate so much of it, you carved through a pint in how much time? You didn't say.
I went through a whole pint of Ben & Jerry's. It took me from the time I walked out of my master bedroom where I used to have, I don't anymore, I have a cooler with a freezer in it. From the time I woke up and grabbed the pint to the time I got to the kitchen, it was gone.
Oh, my God, man. You wake up first thing in the morning? That's what you have?
Whoa. I'm not the one that goes around talking about how great I am and, oh, yeah, let's start telling Congress how to spend money and everything.
Well, what has that got to do with you getting fat on Ben & Jerry's?
Because they manipulate everybody.
What do you mean manipulate?
I'm trying to tell you. They manipulate everybody into thinking they know what's best for everybody.
Dr. Sadler, you are emotionally unwrought.
Oh, why don't you shut up? You sound like my mother.
See you later, Doc. All right, that's strike two.
Well, you know, Henry, way to book him.
I didn't book him, Bud did.
What do you want from me, man? It's the news stories and everybody like that.
World famous Phil Henry Show.
Answer, fuck, I hate when that happens. Phone in my pocket for the whole night. And you heard bitches screaming till my phone died. And she texts me like, why you still
talking? This is the world famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. We'll be right back.
Man, fuck this tattoo. You the reason I wasn't single when college was. All because I had you. Nigga, I don't even have you. How I'm supposed to get past...
Blasingame Fertilizer. This spring, your lawn will look green and clean with Blasingame Fertilizer. Blasingame Fertilizer comes in 5 different varieties. Cow shit, sheep shit, dog shit, cat shit, and bullshit. You can get it all and get it today at Blasingame's Fertilizer. Blasingame's Fertilizer is available at the Hartley Nurseries and Do Gooder Flowers. Blasingame's Fertilizer. There's nothing like it. There never will be anything else like it. Blasingame's Fertilizer. Take my word for it.
Damn, that'll make me a one-night fuck. I was so mad. Damn, you used to ride a nigga like a moped.
Phil Henry Show.
Players fuck up, my bad.
Damn good thing we got people beeping this show now. It's,
all the N-words and everything.
Well, it's the hip-hop, man.
Yeah, it's the hip-hop, man.
All right, fine. So, Whole Foods, they have denied that they made an anti-gay cake. Margaret?
Well, the story is an anti-gay slur ended up on a cake, and the internet is now asking questions. Now, there's a Texas pastor named Jordan Brown. I looked at his Twitter account, and he says he was given a custom-made cake that was decorated with an anti-gay slur. He asked for the cake to simply say, love wins. When he picked the cake up and the cake was taken home, he said he didn't notice it when he put it in the car. But right there on the front of the cake, it said love wins and then the F word.
Let's just say love wins gay.
Is that what it said?
No, but we're trying to make it sound better, that we don't want to use the F word.
Right, so what is this guy saying?
He is saying that the people at Whole Foods are to blame, that they are the ones that essentially, or whoever made the cake, they are the ones that essentially put it there. And Whole Foods has turned around and said, no, we did not. He sued them, and they have countersued.
All right, so Whole Foods is feels very confident?
Whole Foods is saying that they have security tape that you can look at that shows that the cake went out a certain way, and that when they got it back as the result of this complaint, it was not the way that they had sent it out, so that the someone had tampered with it.
Yeah, so they're saying that this guy put the thing there themselves.
Yes.
All right, Dave Castorini, who is the pastor of Castorini's Youth Ministries, joins us from Scottsdale, Arizona. And in a moment, we've got Doug Danger as well from the Orange County Courier. And Reverend Castorini, a very pleasant day to you, sir.
Hello, Phil. And hello, everyone there.
Hello, Reverend. We want to know about your view on this particular story. We have never really heard your views on gay politics, on gay marriage, etc. You've got some very progressive views, obviously, on sex, and you are attempting to appeal to the young with your ministry. What is your view on this story?
Well, my view is we have nothing against gay people in our church, in our youth ministry. We minister to all people.
Yes, but do you consider it a sin?
Well, that's a question we never answer. That's between you and God. What we do say is this. We accept everyone in our church, and we accept everybody for who they are, and we never criticize anyone, but we do tell people to tone it down a little bit. If you are advertising how gay you are, you're inviting people to critique you, and sometimes you leave it wide open for them to slam you and to insult you with these kinds of homophobic phrases.
Are you suspecting then that this is... Now, this is a pastor as well.
Yeah, this pastor, Jacob Brown, I don't know the man, I don't know his church, but I probably... It's very likely, because I know a lot of Christian ministers who are in the closet, and...
You know they're in the closet? How do you know that?
Well, I know it because they're married, but they have... sort of these effeminate mannerisms. They will walk a certain way that tips it just a little bit. Sometimes they'll just brush their hand across something in a ladylike fashion, and you'll go ahead and you'll mark them. And you'll make a note of that, and if you've got one of your prayer counselors with you, you'll say, go ahead and mark him, because I think he is gay, and I mean gay. It doesn't even contain fully what he is.
I'm sorry, what is that?
Well, that's what you'll say to one of your prayer counselors.
Now, who are these?
Well, I have prayer counselors that are with me all the time, and I'll make note of things I see, and I'll say, all right, there's one there. You can see the way he's walking, almost as if he was in a modeling class. You see how he's putting one foot in front of the other, and that doesn't mark him as gay, but he could be. And then if he, you know, has those mannerisms, I'm saying...
Well, what are you doing with this information?
What I'm doing with the information, I'm saying, then I'll approach them, and I'll say, again, I only approach the ministers who are in the closet, because I think it's very important. And I will say to them, I'll say, Pastor, I'm Reverend Dave Castorini. I'm with the youth ministry over here in Scottsdale, Arizona, and you look to me as if you're gay. And they'll sometimes look shocked, like, but 9 times out of 10, I'm right. And I'll say, may I, you know, minister the word of God to you? And, shit.
What was that?
I sneezed. I'm sorry. I'm very, very sorry if I said a dirty word there.
Yeah, you did. You said the shit word.
Hey.
Sorry about that. Anyway, he will say, well, do you think I look gay? And I'll say something. You look queer. You don't look gay. You look more than that. You look queer. And hold on. I got a hay fever, Phil. You fucking fag.
What did you just say?
I'm sorry. I apologize for that.
Now, right there, your homophobia is coming out.
No. That was, I sneak. What, look at that. Right in the rear-ended him, huh? What are we talking about?
Yeah.
Guy just rear-ended another guy. What are we talking about, Phil?
Yeah, that's very funny.
All right. So I'll say to them, you are advertising. It looks to me like you're trolling, and they'll say, I'm not gay, and no, I'm not, and I'll say, all right, fine, but I do need to warn you that your mannerisms, it just screams that you're pounding. If you're not out of the closet, you're pounding on the door, and you want someone to let you out. And those are things that
How can you judge anyone like that? You don't really know.
I don't know for sure, but that's what I ask them. And 9 times out of 10, they'll say to me, mind your own business. And that right there means they're gay. And
But wait a minute. They never say to you they're gay.
Yes, they never admit it, do they?
No, yes, they do by saying, mind your own business, or I will beat you within an inch of your life. What does that say to you, Phil?
It says to me that you're pissing them off, you're bothering them.
No, you're wrong. You're misreading that. That means, yeah, you got it. You nailed me. I'm as gay can be. I'm a capital G-A-Y. I am gay, exclamation point. That's what I am. And that's what I is. And you are what you is.
All right. Are you okay?
I never felt better. Why? What's wrong?
Nothing. We've just had a kind of a funny day. Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier is going to join us right now. Doug is actually on his way to the airport. He's got another deadline to meet. It's always good to have Doug on the line with us. Doug, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
We're on here with Reverend Dave Castorini. I take it you've heard his comments?
Yeah, I've heard the comments. First of all, Reverend Castorini, you should know I'm a gay man, gay journalist. All right?
I know, Doug. I've listened to you on the air.
All right. And you going up to what you think is a gay man, even though he's not out yet, and saying, are you gay, are you gay, are you gay? That's the kind of a harassment. And I'm a gay man, gay journalist. I've had people do that to me before I came out. But I've been out a long, long time, okay? And now I've had time to observe the rest of the world and how these things are done. I came out 4 weeks ago. And in the long, long time intervening, I have been able to take a look at what people have done to harass. I think that's the kind of harassment.
Well, all right, Doug, I accept that. But let me ask you, if I see a man who is walking down the street with his knees too close together...
If you see a guy going down the street with his knees too close together, he might be a straight guy that just got kicked in the balls. What do you think about that?
Okay, shut up.
Come on, bud.
Well, I mean, the kid's laughing. It's true.
No, you know what I'm saying. You see a guy walking down the street, and he's swinging his arms a little too wildly, and his knees are too close together. And I mean, he's swinging his arms really wild, almost as if he's dancing. You've seen that?
I've seen it. Why?
Well, I'm saying, tell me that guy's not gay. Hold on. Is that my bus?
You're the second guy looking for a bus. Last week we had a guy looking for a bus.
Yeah, I know. Never mind. I got the prayer counselors with me. Catch this next bus. We got to get out of here. I got to get back to the ministry because we have them going out the door right now. A long line of gay ministers.
Wait. Hold on. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And I've been listening to you talking here about seeing a guy walking down the street with his knees too close together and he's swinging his arms wildly, and as far as you're concerned, that means he's gay?
I'm saying that's an indication. What I do then is I walk up to them and I say, excuse me, pastor, I don't mean to...
How do you know they're a pastor?
Well, if I see them coming out of a church and they're holding a Bible and they've got, you know, a blue suit on...
So if they're wearing a blue suit...
That's pretty much a giveaway. That's a dead giveaway. So and I will ask them, I'll say, I'm sorry, are you a pastor, or were you a pastor, or is you a pastor, something like that. I'll try to, you know, and they'll say, yes, I am. And so I'll say, well, you're walking with your knees too close together, your arms are swinging out wildly in every direction, and they'll say, I'm just walking normally, and I'll say to them at that point, no, you're not. No, you're not.
All right. Well, I think my perspective, Phil, on this story having to do with the cake, I think this guy is lying. They've countersued him, right?
Yeah.
And I think Whole Foods has got a case. I think this guy is probably a gay minister who's trying to get some publicity for his church, and this is the only way he can do it.
And they can't do it honestly. That's right. That's why I would love to go to that pastor, and I'd say, are you gay? And he'd say, probably say, yes, I am.
Yeah, because he's out.
All right. Well, the point being, are you sure he's out?
I don't know if he is or not. It says it's the Church of the Open Door.
All right, well, Church of the Open, that's pretty funny.
Church of the Open Door to what? To a closet. No,
you don't know what you're talking about.
All right, Doug, thank you.
You know, that guy, I've heard him on your program before. He's a smartass, isn't he?
Well, he's a gay man and a gay journalist, you know.
No kidding.
Well, all right, but he knows what he's talking about. You're not gay.
No, I'm not gay, but I know how to find out if a guy is.
Yeah, if he's walking down the street with his knees too close together and his arms... Never mind.
All right, Phil.
Thank you very much, Reverend, and we'll stay on top of the story.
Okay, very good talking to you, everyone, and God bless you all.
Thank you very much, Reverend.
Thank you.
All right, well, that's all the damage we can do today.
Well, and damage it was, man. I don't think we figured out one thing.
What a way to get back into the week. But anyway, it's good to see you, and it's good to get Pete Bone out of here at least.
Huh?
It's good to get you heard me, you dirty...
Hey, watch it.
Watch it.
World-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California is executive produced by Phil Henry for Sempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One, baby.